Hello, party people, and it is time for an Office Hours speed round where I rapid fire go through a whole bunch of your questions that don't really need in-depth answers, things that I can answer really quickly. Let's go hop in and just go get started. DBA Cat says, we've been fighting an AG issue for a while where randomly some databases go into recovery. It's never consistent. Microsoft support has not been helpful. Have you seen this? Yes. Unfortunately, I wish SQL Server didn't have any bugs. Next up, Gaspard asks, is performing restore with verify only enough to verify backup health? If not, what could go wrong between this and a full database restore? Me, personally, I like doing a full database restore and then doing checkDB. So that way, not only do you verify that the restore actually worked, but you also verify that the data inside there is good. Since SQL Server 2019 came out, you don't have to be running 2019, but since 2019 came out, if you've got software assurance, there's no charge for offloading CheckDB to other SQL servers. So it's a fast, easy way to not only check your backups, but check the databases inside. Next up, we have Rojo, who asks, it used to be common to have a dedicated I/O channel for app data and logs. Now that SANs are common, can everything go to the same channel? So teaching you the internals of how storage works, how the pipe works in between cloud VMs and their storage and all that is way beyond something that I can answer, even if I took 15 or 20 minutes in order to do it. It's probably a good sign that if you genuinely need to know this kind of architecture stuff, it is time to attend training classes. And we talk about stuff like this inside my classes like Mastering Server Tuning. Next up, my Fianchetto asks, lock pages in memory, is it a must-have after setting max server memory? I don't feel that way. I understand why people do. It's just for me that the bang for the buck is usually relatively low on there. It's a relatively few number of servers and applications that actually see that benefit. An example of where it makes sense to start investigating that is if you have column store indexes. I've never told a client to turn it off, except they're when they're running into installing multiple things inside the SQL Server and they're running into problems with SQL Server scratching out to disk. Lock pages in memory doesn't guarantee that no application on the server will start scratching to disk. And once things start scratching to disk, it doesn't matter if SQL Server's in memory or not, the box is screwed. Next up, Steve says, do you have any sizing guidelines or tips when migrating an on-premises SQL 2019 Enterprise to Azure SQL? The biggest number one guidance I can give you is never again, for the rest of your life, all throughout your entire life, never, ever, ever use the term Azure SQL. Specify exactly what you're using. Are you using Azure SQL DB? Azure SQL DB Hyperscale, Azure SQL DB Managed Instances, a SQL Server running in an Azure VM. All of these have different guidelines and best practices. It's kind of like saying, I like to eat cheese. Are there any drawbacks to eating cheese? Well, it depends a lot on what kind of cheese you're eating, other than, of course, getting fat is the universal drawback. Next up, we have Dave. Dave says, we have an on-premises SQL Server used as a data warehouse. We're starting to move our workload to AWS. What's your take on Aurora as an alternative? We can change the application to support it. What is the problem that you're trying to solve? I can repaint my house. Should I do it? Well, why are you thinking about repainting the house? What's driving you to that? Don't think about just go randomly changing the entire back end of your application. Why would you do it? What's the problem you're trying to solve? As a technology person, never forget that your job isn't to go around with a hammer looking for things to nail. It's to ask, quite a thing, jokes inside there. Stop looking for things to nail and instead ask the business, what problem do you need me to solve today? And focus on that. Anatoly asks, how do you know if your SQL Server physical RAM is going bad? What you do is install drivers for whoever your server maker is. You install their drivers, their management tooling inside of your operating system, and then it'll automatically file errors in the Windows event log whenever there are things like RAM chips going bad. Mirza says, hey, Brent, you mentioned that page life expectancy is useless. I had a talk with someone from Microsoft, and that person says PLE is a great way to measure memory pressure. How do I convince him to stop paying attention to PLE? Let me make sure I understand this correctly. You believe that your job is to train someone who works for another company who doesn't seem to want the information that you want to convey to them? Don't. Your job isn't to teach everybody, especially the students who don't want to learn. That's okay. It's fine. Move on with it. Next up, Gerardo asks, SP Blitz First is showing several hours of CMEM thread waits. Trace flag didn't help. How do we use SP Blitz Cache to find the top queries causing this wait? This is a great example of somebody listing the problem and then trying to say, how do I use this tool to solve this problem? This is also great to say, you can't use SP Blitz Cache to solve that problem. If someone says, for example, how do I take a window out of a wall? And they go, I have this drill. How do I use that? Nope, the drill's not for that. Before we go off too far deep into construction, SP Blitz Cache doesn't have the ability to see which wait stats were involved in a query. So unfortunately, that's just not the right tool. Instead, it sounds like you've already gone through the URLs where we talk about CMEM thread. In there, we explain, here are the things that you should try first. And if these don't work, go open a ticket with Microsoft. And I've had customers see success with that. The other thing I should make sure and say is, in every single time where I've seen this problem, somebody has had a wild and crazy setting for MaxDop. Like you mentioned, you have a 64-core server. In those cases, I've seen people setting MaxDop to 32 or 64, 0. And by fixing MaxDop so the queries didn't go so wild and crazy, then we didn't have this problem of accessing memory across NUMA nodes as badly. Next up, Hiroto asks, what is your opinion of Azure Synapse and Snowflake Cloud Data Warehouses? I haven't used them at all. I keep my hands pretty full just with SQL Server these days, so I wouldn't want to give you a half-thought-out example of somebody else's product. The one thing I'll say about Azure Synapse is it's gone through more name changes than P. Diddy or Puff Daddy or whatever he's calling himself these days. Microsoft has this thing where when a product isn't catching on, they keep changing the name. The name changing kind of worries me a lot because they have changed the name of that product a lot. And they'll keep telling you, well, it's different now. It also serves as a dessert topping. I'm like, easy with that. It's not that it's a bad product. It just makes me a little suspicious when I see the thing undergo that many name changes. It's probably going to change again. Danny says, what are your pros and cons for using SQL tables to implement queuing? Two big challenges with that. One is blocking. Two is that SQL Server is a hell of an expensive place to implement something that you can get essentially for free through any other cloud provider. So if you're on Amazon, check out Amazon SQS, Simple Queuing Services, which is way more robust, way bigger in terms of scale, and way cheaper. Like your first, I want to say, million requests each month are free. So beats the heck out of SQL Server. Levi asks, is page level restore a practical solution for dealing with data corruption? Yes. Have you ever seen it successfully used? Yes. It's less used these days because most people just fail over to their availability group secondary or their database mirroring secondary. And essentially those two technologies are using something like page level restore. They're restoring a page from another replica that's a known clean copy. Because those technologies are so much more pervasive amongst companies that need true high availability and disaster recovery, these days it's really rare for someone to say, well, the server's got to be up all the time and I only have one of them. That doesn't make any sense. So, Chindwich says, will we ever get a Watch Brent upgrade SQL Server? No, because I think that that's one of the most boring videos that I could possibly put out. Besides, I don't ever upgrade SQL Server in place. I design a new cluster or a new set of SQL Servers. I test that out, make sure that it's okay, get users to sign off on performance. Then I set up log shipping or database mirroring or always on availability groups between the old boxes and the new boxes. Then failover to it that way. That process takes weeks. Everything that I discussed in there, including the user acceptance testing, that's boring as all get out. It's not something that you'd want to watch live and interactively. And then the last one that we'll take, Bruno says, I use parseName as a sneaky way to split strings. However, I can't create an index with it because it's non-deterministic. Why? Well, in terms of the why, you'd want to go ask Microsoft, but the easy way to do it is triggers. Instead of trying to use a computed column, update that column with a trigger. Have a trigger that has the things or that implements the logic that you want, like parseName. And then you can index that column as opposed to trying to do it directly with a computed column. And there we go. That is a whole bunch of questions inside the span of about 10 minutes. I will sign off there and let you get on with your day. Have a wonderful day, and I hope you enjoyed Office Hours.